Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It is Monday again, and a gorgeous day here in the Bay Area. You know, it's officially fall, but we're really getting some dandy weather here, and I'm not going to complain. I hope you don't either. I was kind of joking with someone before the show. I said, well, you know, my listeners today are going to be people that have nothing else to do because it's one of those days that you kind of want to work outside if you can, but it is what it is. I want to announce, as I have on the last several shows, that anyone running for political office, any candidate for any office in Coos County, is welcome to come on this show. They need to contact me in advance and set up the time, but time's running out. For next week, I have scheduled Fred Kirby. Fred is running for city council in the city of Coos Bay, and then on the 10th, I'm going to have County Commissioner Bob Main on, and we're going to talk about some of the pending lawsuits in federal court regarding our land use, kind of an update on what's happening on that. And, of course, I want to remind everybody, tonight is the first presidential debate. Should be interesting. I found it's interesting. Over the weekend, all of the mainstream media ran hit pieces on Donald Trump, telling us, you know, how he's a racist, how he's a liar, how he's a misogynist, and all the horrible things about Donald Trump. And that was all over the mainstream media, all the alphabet networks, on Politico, New York Times, LA Times, Boston Herald, everywhere you looked. It was hit pieces on Trump, and not a peep about the foibles of Hillary Clinton. Does that tell you anything? Anyway, today I have a special guest in the studio. I have Coos County Sheriff Craig Zanny, and I wanted to discuss with Craig the idea has been floated about a law enforcement levy here in Coos County to help support the sheriff's department, and I'm going to let Craig kind of fill you in on why we need it and what it would accomplish. And once we've got an overview of this, I would like to hear from you, the listeners, to find out whether or not you would support such a levy if it made it on a ballot at some future date. Because this is something that's going to affect all of us. And right now, with the way society is, with what's happening in the world, terrorism, and all the other things, I think strong law enforcement is something that we all need. And if you want to call in and join the conversation, the number here is 541-267-2124. If you're outside the immediate calling area, you can call toll-free at 800-507-5569. And with that, I kind of want to introduce Sheriff Zanny here. And Sheriff, I know you've spoken to several groups already about the possibility of law enforcement levy. Give us kind of an overview of what's going on within the sheriff's office and why you think that this would be a good idea.
Well, thank you, Jim. I just kind of laughed because I'm glad you cleared up the other one on the hit pieces on those papers and talk about us. I've heard all those acronyms used about you in the past.
I know.
I just kind of went, at least he's clearing up. They're not talking about Jim this time. And I just kind of laughed because it's name calling so easy. But that's kind of off the subject, but I just find it humorous. The reason we're talking about this is one of the things you know is back in 2015, we have one of the newer jails in all of Oregon. It'll hold 250 inmates. Currently, we're at 49 beds. That's the only portion of the jail we can use is 49 beds.
Is that because we don't have enough personnel to man the jail?
Well, two things. Originally, part of it was also, and without getting into the great history, is we're all aware of the ONC funds and the financial problems
right.
of coastal counties. So at the time, part of that was done to save some money at the end of the year, but it was also because we didn't have enough staffing, and we couldn't continue to work our regular staff double shifts all the time to stay at 100 beds.
Right.
And so that's what we're looking at, is we're looking at... this isn't the only option, but this is one of the options that we're looking at, is trying to come up with funding either to operate the jail at full level, because there are counties that eventually may end up having rent beds, or at least back at 100 beds to make sure that we're meeting the needs of our community. I'm sure you've heard the complaints. People go, well, the police arrest them and they're back in town before the police get back.
Yeah,
and it's not totally true, but I get the feeling, I understand it, and there's some degree of truth, because when we hit that 49-bed limit,
right.
we bring somebody in, somebody has to go out. We have no choice.
Right, and I've talked to a number of police officers that have lamented the situation that you just mentioned, that they take the bad guy to jail. The bad guy's out and on the street before they're done with their paperwork. And part of it is, the police around here pretty much know who the bad guys are. It's the same people. I read the police reports. We see the same names over and over and over, over a period of time. So the police officers know who the bad guys are, but a lot of times I think they get frustrated because they're out there doing their job, and then due to financial constraints, the bad guys aren't kept off the street. And that's the whole intent of the exercise, isn't it?
Well, that and the other part, for example, is one of the big things we've been dealing with is we do not have adequate and proper mental health facilities in our community anywhere near.
Right.
And we have cases, for example, that somebody that we know is not mentally competent, who for whatever reason starts acting out. The neighbors call, say this person's creating a problem. Well, the police are going, what do I do with this person? They pick him up, they bring him to jail.
Right.
Jail's not the place for the mentally ill. The problem with that is I don't blame the officers, because they have to do something to save the neighborhood. They get to our jail, they can't be charged because we know of their condition, or because it's simply a disruption or public nuisance charge, they're the first ones to be released from the jail.
Right.
And then they go back out and repeat the same behavior. And unfortunate, that's part of, there's a multifaceted part here, is we need some place for people like that to go rather than jail, because
right.
they really don't belong in jail. But the problem is, our state, like many other states, decided, well, we don't want to have those kind of facilities because they don't look good.
Right. They don't want to stigmatize people.
And we have people that are charged with major crimes, and you're familiar with some of those, including murder,
right.
where the person was not mentally competent. And then we still end up holding them in the jail till there's a bed available at the state hospital because there's insufficient space there.
Right. Yeah. Now, as I understand it, though, Coos County Health Department has quite a bit of money.
Well, they seem to have, yes.
Yeah, well, the last time I reviewed the budget, which I'll admit has been a couple years ago, it seemed the health department was the only department of the entire county that was pretty flush in money, and part of the reason for that, they've got revenue streams coming in that are fairly substantial, but there's strings attached, so it's all dedicated funds. It can only be used for specific things.
They do, and it's mostly pass-through money from the state
right.
to mental health. And so those funds can't be used for other things other than what they're dedicated for, so it's not really a help to the jail.
Exactly.
And so what we're talking about, and this is one of the things we're looking at to see if people support it, would be possibly a levy at least to get 200 beds. I'd like to see it financed, pay for the whole jail. And we would have plenty of room for people that need to be held, and we wouldn't have the problems we were just discussing. And along with that, what I would want to see, obviously, and I think most citizens agree, is a commitment to the money that's saved from that levy to pay for the jail would go to the funds that are saved would go to public safety and not be spent elsewhere.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's really, I think that's the major, we have shortfalls in everything for the most part. But one of the biggest things that I hear people complain about is public safety. You know, I get at least a half a dozen calls or emails every day from people. Well, people are speeding up down my street. You're not doing anything.
All right.
But when I have two deputies on, one's out at a call and the other one's going to a call, a speeding vehicle could be fatal to a child or an
right.
adult. But when somebody's saying somebody's breaking into my house, I only have two people to send.
Yeah, it's a matter of priorities.
Exactly.
And somebody gets left behind in that. I do need to take a break here. If you'd like to weigh in on this, I'd like to know what your ideas are regarding a levy for law enforcement. Will you be willing to pay a few dollars extra a year on your county taxes to support that? Give me a call, 541-267-2124. And we really do want to hear from you. This is important stuff. And I'll be right back.
There are tires. Then there are BF Goodrich tires. For the passionate driver, BF Goodrich light truck tires strive to deliver outstanding all-terrain traction, rugged dependability, a quiet highway ride, and the bold look you want for your rig. Don't just get tires that fit your truck. Get tires that transform it. Ask about BF Goodrich light truck tires today. Far West Tire Factory has the expert tire service you need to take your car's performance to the next level. Specific performance may vary by tire model.
Looking for a vehicle but not sure what to get or where to go for the best deal? Then allow Jim Vick Auto Sales to assist you. Choose from economy cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans. And just in case you're looking for that sports car you've always wanted, you might just find that too. Plus, when Jim says,
"If I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business,"
Jim means just that, helping you save money and making sure you're satisfied with the vehicle you choose. Jim Vick Auto Sales, on the corner of Virginia and Broadway, and online at jimvickautosales.com.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Coos County Sheriff Craig Zanny, and we're talking about the possibility of a law enforcement levy on our taxes to help support the sheriff's office, the jail, and public safety in general. Now, if we were to do a levy, that money would be dedicated funds specifically for law enforcement, correct?
Well, it'd be for dedicated to the operation and care and maintenance of the jail and staffing of the jail.
Okay, so you'd want to be specific on the jail.
Yeah, I believe if you're going to ask people for money, you need to tell them up front what you're going to spend it for and then stick to that, because that's...
Okay. How about funding for additional deputies?
Well, what I would ask is at least a significant portion of the money that's saved out of the current jail budget would go back into public safety, which would go to that. So
right.
It would relieve the pressure on patrol, and we'd have funding for additional officers. As you know, if we have two or three people on throughout all of Coos County, 1,600 square miles and 60,000 people plus three people, that's kind of bad odds.
Yeah, you get spread pretty thin.
Exactly.
Well, the thing that occurs to me, if we did a levy and you've got this money coming in, then it kind of falls on the county commissioners to continue allocating funds at, say, at current levels or maybe above, rather than say, okay, well, they've got this law enforcement levy that's bringing in X number of dollars, so we're going to cut that much out of the public safety allowance on the general fund.
Well, and see, I think that's, as you know, we've had in years past a couple of attempts at something like this.
Right.
And I truly believe, and I have expressed with the commissioners, and I think they agree, is part of the reason those failed is that commitment wasn't made that the money that was saved by that levy would go to public safety. And I think that's part of people's concerns when they vote on that. You know, I was listening to some of the radio programming coming over. It's like with Major 97. There's no guarantee
where that money goes.
Whether or not they'll use it to backfill, too. You know,
Yeah.
And that's always a concern for the taxpayer, and I get that. And, you know, I pay taxes, and I have kids and grandkids, and, you know, we've talked a lot about them. And so I'm concerned about them, too, because it's, you know, those who make, you know, $300,000 a year, they probably don't care. Most people around here in Coos County make $50,000 a year or less.
Exactly, yeah.
And a couple hundred bucks is big money.
Absolutely. And we do have a caller. We have Gene from Libby. Gene, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Well, gentlemen, you hit on the favorite subject that I'm dealing with currently with the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
For your information, I am the new appointed ambassador for mental health for veterans in Coos County.
Okay, well, I'm a veteran and I'm crazy. What can you do for me?
I won't raise taxes for you.
Oh, well, okay.
I will redistribute some monies that possibly is already there.
Oh, okay. What do you think about the idea of a law enforcement levy? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think I like it better than setting up this animal district that they're trying to get put on the ballot, or it is on the ballot.
Yeah.
Where they're, you know, it's just another district like the drainage districts and the fire districts, et cetera, et cetera. So I have no heartburn with a little bit more public safety.
Yeah.
As a person now, but let's get back to the veterans.
Okay.
I'm for veteran health, and I'm also for rehabilitation of the veteran, whether they're mental and who knows, you know, even alcoholism is a disease.
Yeah.
So should we be separated in the jail? Possibly. Should we be treated different in the jail? Possibly. Should we be better than anybody in the jail? No, because we're just citizens of Coos County, just like anybody else that gets arrested here. But what I'm trying to point out to the mental health people and everything is that there is monies out there, federal, state,
right,
maybe county, for public health issues. And one of them I'd like to mention on your show here in New York, they got a $250,000 grant for first responders that to train police department and fire departments how to deal with mental health folks.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's $250,000, which is chump change.
Chump change, yeah.
Well, Gene, if I can address part of that, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're already doing that without having any grant money. I have one of my patrol sergeants who's meeting with representatives from mental health and the hospitals and working on that same program. It's an intervention program, and we're trying to do that. That's the interesting part. We're trying to do it. Other places get, like you said, $250,000 to do that. And we're trying to do that along with everything else we do, because we recognize that is important. As I mentioned, is people who have mental illness don't need to be in jail. That doesn't help them. It gets them off the street and it makes neighbors feel good because they're not causing problem in the neighborhood, but it doesn't help resolve that issue. It just in many cases, mentally ill people, putting them in incarceration just increases the problems they have.
Yeah, counterproductive.
Well, it is, and getting them incarcerated is not tax savings.
No, it isn't.
And the other part of that, you know, when they're arrested and put in jail, that's a black spot on their record that they can never remove. And, you know, if someone is mentally ill, if they need help, the last place they need to be is in jail, and I think the sheriff pretty well made that clear.
Well, we're, as a same subject, different issue, there's a group of us veterans that are trying to encourage the law enforcement community to think about a veterans court separate from the municipal courts and separate from the mental health courts, if there is such a thing.
Yeah, I think to do that, you're going to have to get together with the prosecutors. I think law enforcement is probably on the back end of that. I think that would fall to the DA's office and maybe consult with
the courts.
Yeah, consult with the commissioners and the judges.
I agree, and that's the ones that we're approaching currently.
Okay,
And the pushback is lack of funds.
Well, that's always the pushback, and that's why we're talking about a law enforcement levy, is just lack of funds. You know, since we can't cut trees anymore, we can't do the things that traditionally generated revenue for the county and the peoples of the county. We got to find new alternatives if we want to continue our lifestyle at reasonable levels. And I think it's gotten to the point now where it's become critical.
Well, Sheriff, you got my endorsement for a levy if you want to put it out there.
I appreciate that.
I don't know how you get it on the ballot.
Well, that's one of the things we're working at first. And the reason we're putting out there, I just tell you, Gene, is I could probably convince the commissioners to put it on the ballot, but I don't want to do that unless I have at least a reasonable belief that will pass and it's supported by the community, because I don't want to spend the money just for the election just to say we tried. If it looks like it wouldn't pass, why waste the money? We're short enough as it is, so let's not go out and waste our time. So that's why we're talking about, because there's other alternatives we're trying. You know, I've had people say, well, you need to try and find other ways to do money. I have a list of things that we have done that has raised a lot of money and a lot of services of the county that didn't cost the citizens anything. For example, here, a few years ago, most of you remember, we didn't have a canine program.
Right.
Well, one of the things we did is we looked at, because I have a lot of Bureau of Land Management area in our deal, we were able to get a grant from the Bureau of Land Management to pay for a canine and a handler to go to school to be trained. And we worked on that. And of course, most of you know that our first canine suffered, had a congenital problem that ended up us having to put the dog down.
Right.
And I took a ration of heat for that, because how, and kind of, why didn't they make it a pet? We couldn't, to be humane to the dog. The dog was in terrible pain. We had to put it down. We ended up with replacing that dog. And here's a dog at no cost to the taxpayers obtaining the dog or the handler certification or anything else. And in the past, we'd have to call Coos Bay or North Bend if they had a dog available, and sometimes wait and wait and wait. We have our own dog now. And since we got that program and the second dog back, there's 39 individuals, 40 as of this morning,
okay,
who committed crimes or escaped from local prisons, who were rapidly apprehended. They're back in custody, no longer a danger to the community, and at least two additional occasions where it was a lost or endangered, medically endangered person, dementia or whatever, wandered off.
Right.
And we found them, you know, and we prevented a medical emergency. And I think those, here's a dog that we got by without spending local people's money, and it's provided good service to our community.
Right. Now, I need to take a break here.
I'm glad you clarified that, Sheriff, because BLM money is taxpayers' money.
It is taxpayers' money, but it's not local.
It's a grant, or it's not free money.
No, it's not free money, but it is a way of generating services that we normally wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, and it's a way to get back a small percentage of the money we've already paid to the feds. You know, it's our money to begin with. That's where all too often we forget to put that caveat in there. Too often we hear local politicians talking about, oh, we got this free money. Well, it isn't free. It still came out of the taxpayer's pocket. And
sure.
I think when we can get something from the feds, it's our money anyway. We may as well utilize it for our benefit rather than for whatever they declare the benefit to be.
Exactly.
So, okay, well,
so
I
you guys keep pushing, and I'll keep voting, and someday, I don't know.
Maybe it'll get better, right?
No, and as far as the jail goes, you know, I wish that the feds would use it more. I wish the state would use it more because they're also building new prisons, you know, so, you know, there's funds there going to other places.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we
don't say the money's not there because it is there.
Yeah, we just need to get our share of it.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, well,
and Sheriff Zadie, keep yourselves safe. I always mention this since Mike and everybody else was having to cut deputies and deputies. No, that is not the time to do it when with all this shenanigans going on.
That's for sure. Okay, well, I thank you for the call, Gene. You have a great day.
Well, thank you, guys.
And I need to take a break. This is a break. I'm going to give something away. This is courtesy of our locally owned McDonald's, Coos Bay, North Bend, and Reedsport. I have in my hot little hand little certificates. One is for a free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. And the other one is for a free dessert of your choice. So you can eat a meal and get a dessert as well. And I'm also going to include a sheet of coupons for various savings on various items at your local McDonald's. And I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now. Get some freebies from your locally owned McDonald's. I know a lot of people just stop in McDonald's. It's a quick way to grab a meal on the go, or if you don't feel like cooking tonight or whatever. But we're going to give these away to caller number 3. Dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124, and we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. With the cold winter months here, it is time to have your cooling system serviced. Many people think their antifreeze only keeps their car's engine from freezing. In reality, the engine coolant does much more than protect your engine against the cold. It also protects against heat and corrosion. A quick way to destroy your engine is to run it too hot. Aluminum components can warp as a result of excessive heat. Good coolant improves the cooling system efficiency. It also keeps the cooling system from rusting, which can cause severe problems over time.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive today. They'll clean, flush, and put new antifreeze in your cooling system to make sure your car is in tip-top shape for winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some urgent news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from PBS host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we're about to offer you this free book that unlocks the 5 little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-732-1515 now to get your personalized copy rushed to you today. Do you want to avoid mistakes baby boomers and seniors can make when they buy annuities? Those mistakes now could be costly later to you and your family. Call 800-732-1515. That's 800-732-1515. Employees of J.T. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
How long were you a slave?
5 years.
What is your name?
Benna.
On August 19th, my family was betrayed
by my own brother.
On the road to revenge,
I won't let him go unpunished.
One man was shown the path.
There is a way.
Defeat your brother in the arena and free us all.
To redemption.
People would follow you. I would follow you.
You should have killed me.
I will.
Go! Go! We have no brother!
Ben-Hur. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters, Real D3D and IMAX 3D, August 19th.
Hey, you know, everybody's got a to-do list. Drop everything off the dry cleaning. Pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. Now, the good thing is you don't have to drop off anything or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes... well, you can be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Maybe you need extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding thing you do today. Now, it's that easy. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. Just go to GEICO.com. GEICO.com.
Have you heard about the new home storage IRA from Capital Gold Group? It offers all the normal benefits of a traditional IRA, But the big advantage is that you get to keep your gold in your possession. That's right, store your gold and silver IRA at home. Call now for your free gold IRA brochure and learn how to claim a gold storage free safe. Call now, 800-200-GOLD, 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD.
FN handguns bear the DNA of legends, of John Browning, the father of modern firearms, of the artisans and craftsmen who brought his genius to life, of the brave souls who defended our freedom on the front lines for the last 100 years, and the brave souls who defend it on the home front today. FN handguns, the DNA of legends in the palm of your hand. Ask for FN, the world's most battle-proven firearms.
Did you know that McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are made from 100% white meat with no artificial preservatives, no artificial flavors, and no artificial colors? No, never tasted so good. And now you can satisfy your taste buds with a small McCafe drink for only $2. Choose a rich French vanilla latte or a cool creamy caramel frappe. You'll find a variety of drinks to sweeten your day. Only at your locally owned McDonald's in Coos Bay, North Bend, and Reedsport. Now that's a deal you can enjoy.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have in the studio with me Coos County Sheriff Craig Zanny, and we're talking about the possibility of a law enforcement levy. And we have a caller holding on the line. We have John from Coos Bay. John, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. Constable? Thank you.
I used to be a constable, but that was a long time ago.
I would support a levy. You bet, because I'm realistic enough to know that if you want good things in the area, you got to pay for it.
Yeah,
I'm still conservative. Conservatives generally don't like to pay taxes or unnecessary taxes. And I'll tell you why I'm, even more so why I would support this levy is I would love for them to have a place to put, the mentally ill, the criminals. It's, I've got a very good friend of mine. He's him and his wife have been terrorized, for a lack of a better word, by their next door neighbor, a lady who's been doing this for over 5 years. And simply, I believe the reason why she's not sitting in the hoosegow right now is because of exactly what you were saying, before. There's really no place for her.
No, it really isn't. People that are ill, whether it's a physical or mental illness, those people need to be treated for their ailment. And jail is not a good place to accomplish that.
No, and with our legal systems the way it is, all throughout the nation, there's a lot of them that are in there, and then plus, I've seen a lot in the past where, people that are mentally ill have gone to prison, gone to jail, and eventually they're gonna get out, and they haven't gotten any help. So what do they end up doing? They're a repeat offender.
Yeah, it becomes a vicious circle.
Well, yeah, and, a few years ago, it's been a number of years ago now, but we used to have programs in our jail where we actually had an instructor teach people who were inmates, part of his life stole stuff because they didn't have a job. We teach them how to fill out job applications and resumes, mm-hmm. and try and give them some skills to kind of turn that around. And we also had programs for treatment for people who were addicted to substance abuse victims, whether it was drugs or alcohol, to try and get them started down the right road to break that circuit.
Right.
And unfortunately, we have none of those anymore. All we do is run a jail. We don't have any programs because we don't have the funding or the staff to be able to do that.
Right.
Nothing
else. You have a, maybe we can get an intake center where, a mentally dangerous criminal can be assessed before they go out and they do something, very, very tragic, like kill somebody.
Well, it wasn't, I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, we used to have detox centers too.
Right. Yeah.
You'd pick somebody up who's obviously had way too much to drink, staggering down the street before they got in the car. You didn't arrest them per se. You took them into protective custody because they were intoxicated, took them to the detox center, and they were there until they got sobered up. The officers now, the only choice they have is either let them go or take them to jail.
And, letting somebody go that's going to drive a vehicle impaired is not in the best interest of the people.
Leaving them walking around, even if they're walking in inclement weather where they're liable to fall down, pass out, and die from exposure isn't acceptable either.
Yeah.
Right. And the reason why those facilities don't exist, you know, and it's very clear. It's, you know, the county is next broke.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like I said, I don't quibble a whole lot about, you know, except paying taxes as long as it's going to go to good use. It's like I never, ever complain about paying Oregon taxes because, for one, we have some of the nicest roads, in this country. I don't know if you've ever driven down in Louisiana, you know,
yeah.
their taxes are
or Illinois,
you know, their state taxes are not up there, but it shows because their roads are horrible.
Well, it all goes back to the old thing: you get what you pay for.
Exactly.
If you're not willing to pay for the service, you're not going to get the service. And particularly where law enforcement's concerned, this is something that applies to each and every one of us. You know, our individual safety, the safety of the community, all of that should be of primary importance to everybody, because, you know, can you imagine what our society would be like without police? You know, that's a scary thought.
Well, if we let that rotten witch, Hillary Rotten Clinton, get in there, we'll see something like that.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I know this stuff that went on over the weekend in North Carolina, Charlotte, all these demonstrations and everything. Mm-hmm. Number one, it's like all the other Black Lives Matter stuff. It's predicated on erroneous information. It's predicated on lies to begin with. But now they're calling.
It is.
Now they're calling for law enforcement free communities. They're saying they want to abolish law enforcement. Well, if you want to see how well that works, take a look at Chicago or Detroit.
I made a comment on Facebook on that and got called a racist and cold-hearted. That, you know, you ever watched Escape from New York?
Yeah.
It's my first impulse is to say, great, let's do that. All the criminals, they can have this one city. We'll court on it off, and you know, you guys take care of yourself. You know, if you want to know what a lawless community is, that's exactly what you would call it—a lawless community.
Yeah, basically. Well,
law enforcement.
Well, and that's you know, we formed and governments were formed, and people got together and created public safety and road departments and all that because no individual felt comfortable trying to protect themselves against everyone else. And that was where we became a society rather than a bunch of...
A mob.
Or tribal.
Yeah.
And that's a good term, too. Yeah, I mean, a mob, right.
And so that's, you know, that's the thing is, it's fascinating because inevitably... You know, in class, one of the things that keeps a bully in check is there's a teacher there.
Yep.
Exactly.
And
right. If
that didn't happen, you know, the toughest kid in the class is going to basically throw his weight around, do what he wants. And that's really why we have public safety and all those things. It's much like traffic laws. Traffic laws don't keep anybody from committing a traffic crime, but generally most people will obey them.
Yeah.
And the only reason some people who may not obey them do is because they realize there's that black and white sitting out there somewhere that's going to catch them doing it, and they don't want to pay the fine that the ticket's going to cost.
Right. Yeah. So
absolutely. I mean, I remember, you know, getting, you know, getting my KZ1100 just running like a top and then going hitting the levee out there by Coke Hill. And the only reason why I didn't crank that thing up over 100 miles an hour is I really didn't want to go pay the ticket and, or you know, end up a hood ornament, you know.
Law enforcement,
they are necessary.
You know, by and large, I think from a public perspective, one of the biggest purposes that law enforcement serves is as a deterrent. Everybody knows, you know, you do this, you're going to have to pay the price. And basically, law enforcement could also be termed the Department of Accountability.
Right.
Because you're held accountable for your actions. I thank you for the call, John. I'm way over time. I got to take a break here, but
I understand. I got to get going too. But thank you for the call. And I'm not really. I'm sure I remember what I won, but I was a third caller.
Yeah, you got the freebies from McDonald's.
Oh, woohoo!
So hey,
right on.
Hey, the price is right.
That's right.
You can always invite Jim to lunch.
Yeah, and remember,
it's just like Army food. It's warm, brown, and free.
Well, and you know the thing people don't realize, McDonald's are franchises. The owner of the McDonald's in Coos Bay, North Bend, and Reedsport lives right here. So you know
great.
They're to a large degree they're local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I'm a strong proponent of spending money with the local businesses because that helps the entire community.
Exactly. That's right.
Anyway, I thank you for the call. And we're going to take a break here. We're going to give away something else this time. We're going to give away a house special at Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. They're located at the foot of Newmark there on Highway 101. Open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. And this house special, now this is a huge amount of food. It includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll, pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. So you're not going to eat it all at one sitting. You're going to go in there, you're going to eat your fill, and take the rest of it home. I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now.
Can I dial in from my cell phone, Jeff?
No, you can't. You can't win. We have a rule here. Guests cannot enter the contest. Only listeners. So anyway, dial the phone now. Caller number 3 gets a house special at Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant, and I will be right back.
Today's newer vehicles are more dependable than ever before. Qualified technicians keep them operating at peak efficiency. Bayshore Auto Repair, North Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay, and we're celebrating with an exciting new lineup to service and repair today's high-tech from Keystone and Forest River. Bayshore Auto Repair believes that care of their customers is just as important as the care they give your vehicle. Call 269-2700 for an appointment to keep your car, truck, or RV in top running condition. Bayshore Auto Repair. Top quality service and excellent customer care are their most...
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we're back. I don't know what happened. Some sort of a glitch in rotation there, but we are back. And Bill is busily answering the phone here for callers to win the house special at Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant. As soon as we got a winner, I'll let you know that. How much have you crunched the numbers at this point to determine how much we would be looking at as far as a levy?
Well, I've asked the assessor's office to take a look at some of the numbers, and I have them, and I apologize, I didn't bring them with me, and I wouldn't try and quote those off the top of my head, because part of it is there's different levels numbers. If we went to 100 beds, if we financed the full jail,
right,
if we did something in between those two numbers. So I've got a whole series of numbers, but the first thing I want to look at is if the citizens of this county think it's a good idea, because one of the reasons I'm talking about a jail levy is it doesn't just meet the needs of the county. It doesn't just meet the needs of Lakeside or Powers or Bend and Myrtle Point,
oh, right,
North Bend, Coos Bay. It helps every community in Coos County. So it's a benefit to have more jail space to everybody.
It is. And You know, like I said before, I've talked to a number of officers about the situation, and we're in a unique position in Coos County, and we only have one jail in the county.
Well, exactly.
You know, a lot of counties, they'll have city jails as well as county jails, and some places even have state facilities, but here in Coos County, the jail in Coquille is it.
Well, and years ago, some of the cities actually had jails in there, but the requirements for the staff and the facilities has so changed.
Right.
That the liability and the cost just of training and maintaining people has become so expensive. You know, we were in discussion this morning in my office. I had a person in, they wanted to know if they could raise $60,000 if we'd hire another deputy, and I had to tell them no. And they go, well, they don't make that much.
Yeah,
we have to estimate the cost per officer, and it makes no difference whether it's on the road or in the jail, at about $100,000 a piece.
Well, yeah.
Because by the time you look at their gross salary, just the insurance through the county is around $13,000, $15,000 a year.
Right.
And then you're talking about, I was shocked because here a while back I was guessing, you know, you probably got $500 or $600 uniforms. That's when I found out that the jackets we buy are around $400 a piece.
Really?
Yes. We buy them, you know, rainproof jackets, right, yeah, for our weather and stuff.
Yeah,
and
high quality.
It just shocked me because I hadn't thought about those numbers. How much just our uniform costs, uniform officer a year for new officers, about $3,500.
Yeah. Well, and then you've got the PERS contributions and
all the
insurance and
taxes,
yeah,
and all those fees. And so it's quite interesting that, you know, a deputy starts out making around $40,000, $45,000 a year. And all of a sudden, you know, well, why is it $100,000? Because I told somebody, well, let's just say that they make gross $50,000. And you put the insurance on top of that, $12,000 to $15,000. They're $65,000. And we don't have them in the uniform or
right,
nothing yet.
And training costs.
And training costs.
And equipment costs.
And supplies. So, but to not get too far in the weeds on that, that is why I think the concept of a jail levy would provide a greater service to everybody in the county than going out and say for a patrol levy to hire just more patrol deputies.
Right.
Because that doesn't resolve the issue of where we put these people and how we deal with them.
Well, and if we could get a jail levy, then what the commissioners do allocate for the sheriff's department, if they didn't cut it back, then that money could be used for additional patrol officers or whatever the need may be.
And we could look at, you know, one of the things, I have one of my deputies works part-time on codes enforcement, and we have a tremendous problem with people basically stockpiling junk or garbage on their property.
Right.
That gets infested with the rats, and then the neighbors have problems, and they call. And unfortunately, we can't devote more time to that simply because we don't have the staffing.
Yeah, it would fall under the heading of nuisance calls.
And it comes to the livability of being in Coos County.
Yeah.
So all those things, you know, taken individually, it's not a big deal, but when you start adding together, it creates a real concern for our community.
Well, and a sheriff, I'm sure that hardly a day goes by that you're not dealing with some member of the public over some perceived problem.
Absolutely. I'm this morning, in fact, I got in the office and my phone was already lit up, and I had three calls from last night. And so we were trying to, you know, deal with those and identify what the problem was and work from there with those. So,
yeah, it kind of goes with territory, but I'm gonna keep the sheriff over into the next hour. I want to hear from as many people as possible, just to get a feel. You know, you don't have to talk a whole lot. You can just call up and say, "Hey, I'm in favor or I'm opposed." But this is kind of a testing the water situation here.
Exactly, because like we mentioned, Jim, I'm sure I could get commissioners simply to put the item on the ballot.
Right.
But if people aren't going to support it, I don't want to waste their money for something I would assume they already didn't want. So what I'm trying to do is figure out, and is this the best way to go? Because if somebody's got ideas for raising money, I'd love to hear them.
Well, you know, You can put on shows with dancing girls and stuff like that.
Spend my evening working out the choreography for that. I'm certain that'd work well.
So. Yeah, and I happen to know your wife. Where would you live during that?
I have a couple of really nice dog houses.
Oh, okay. Well, I've heard that you spend some time there anyway.
Well, I can neither deny or confirm those comments.
But, you know, this really is important, folks, because it will impact every single one of us. If you live in Coos County, you know, let's face it, the bottom line on civilization per se is law enforcement and fire protection. Without those two things, you don't really have much of a society. And so we need to know, and next hour, call up 267-2124. Let us know where you stand on this. Would you support or would you oppose a law enforcement levy? And with that, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our fine sponsors, and of course, we're going to hear some drivel and propaganda from the lamestream media. So put on your brain filters, and I'll be back in a couple minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I'm going to go right to the phones here. We have Kat from Coquille. Kat, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. Thanks for holding.
Hi, both of you. And yes, this is just quick. Anyhow, I wanted to ask Sheriff Sanny if any of the money that I donate to the Oregon State Sheriff's Association goes to him down there in Coquille.
Well, the money you donate to the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, we derive a benefit from it, but we don't get the money at our sheriff's office. That is a organization created by all 36 sheriffs of Oregon, and we do put on some extra training and programs for the sheriff's offices that we have access to, but we don't get the money directly.
You know, when I first started paying into this, I requested that it go directly from you to you, and I got this beautiful letter, said, oh, yes, it's going to go directly to them. And I thought, well, that's nice, and I looked in the back today, and no, it's altogether different.
I don't know who told you that, but no, what happens is there are some benefits we derive from that, but that goes to that organization. Be like donating money to the 4-H, it goes to the 4-H group, and then they disperse it for programs and stuff to the communities.
Now, is there any way that a person can donate to the
directly to the called?
Well, there are, but it makes it kind of difficult. If you go to the treasurer's office and you donate money directly, and you have it put in there to be used by the sheriff's office only, they'll abide by that, but generally that's really not a good idea unless you're really comfortable with it. What we do is we have people that donate money just to the Sheriff's Office canine program, and then we use that money to pay, rather than take it out of our regular budget, to pay for dog food or veterinary care, that type thing.
Yeah, yeah. I've donated to the canine program, so.
Yeah, and you should be donating to the other one, too. Shame, shame, shame.
Well, hey.
You know, I just wanted to know.
Hey, I'm just a radio guy. I don't have any money.
I don't have any money. I get by on disability. That's it.
Ah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. So every penny counts. And,
yes.
Well, and, you know, and to somebody like you that is on disability, law enforcement's even more important to you than it would be for, say, somebody who's 30 years old and able-bodied.
Most definitely. 75 is my age. Thank
oh
you.
Oh, my God.
Happy birthday.
You're just a child, Kat.
Oh, yes. Just a wee wimp. anyhow, you gentlemen are very nice. And yes, I would vote
for the levy?
A sheriff's levy, whatever it is called, a jail levy.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
So that, and I will get off the air because I know there's got to be a bunch of people stacked up behind me because your lovely call screener said, just make it quick.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kat.
Right,
we appreciate the call. Yeah, it is important. I want to hear from as many of our listeners as possible today just to give the sheriff a direction on this, because the whole reason he came on the show was to throw this out and let people think it through and get a feel for where the public is on this. Do you think a law enforcement levy to support the jail is a good idea for Coos County? Would you be willing to support that? And that's basically a simple question that requires a yes or no answer. We have another caller holding. We have Jim from North Bend. Jim, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Thank you, Jim. I would have to myself give that a no answer on anything that would increase taxation burden on the citizens at this time.
Okay, and I understand that. I think people, by and large, think that we're overtaxed to begin with, and it's real hard to argue with that. I don't like paying taxes any more than anybody else, but...
Well, I appreciate the call, because that's what
you
want to know.
Yeah, you're on a fixed income, what are you going to do, you know?
No, I understand that. That's why everybody makes a decision based on what they perceive their needs are and the circumstances, and I appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me the input. Thank you.
Well, absolutely. You know, here's the thing, folks. Everybody's opinion is important. I'm just a guy that talks on the radio. Your opinion is as important or more important than mine. I'm just one person. And it's your community. It's your county. And what we're trying to do here is get a feel for what the owners of the county, because that's you. You own the place. The sheriff is your employee. The county commissioners, everybody that works for the county is your employee. You're the boss. And basically what we have is one of your employees that you have entrusted with public safety in Coos County is coming to you and saying, hey, it's getting more and more difficult for us to do our job properly. We need some help. Are you willing to help? And I guess that's the proper way to look at it because, you know, again, just like our previous caller, Jim, he doesn't want to pay any more taxes. I can sympathize with that. But the question we have to ask is, okay, what happens if we continue business as usual? Are things going to get better, or is there a likelihood things are going to get worse?
Well, I think that's the interesting part because our last caller is, and I don't take it, you know, the term you used is help, and I understand what you're saying. I think everybody else, I don't hear him saying he's not willing to help. I hear somebody saying, I just can't, I don't have the money.
And
that's...
Know,
that's true for some people.
That's fairly common in Coos County.
Well, we were talking about, it goes back to, you know, the whole onset of this goes back to the reduction in ONC funds.
Right.
We were given a promise, government committed to providing funds to the Western Oregon counties and Washington County.
Right.
That we're going to provide you these funds. And then in typical fashion, they go, well, we got used for that money and we changed our mind, so you're not getting them. Oh, by the way, you're on your own. And so then as money gets tighter, we have to look at other ways to come up with that money. So I get it, but that's why it's so important to me to have an idea if people will support this, because I don't want to waste their money on an election that would be just a futile exercise.
Exactly. And, you know, we need to look back. You mentioned the ONC counties. That was a legal agreement between the federal government and the timber-producing counties in Oregon.
Absolutely.
And the government chose to break that rule. They broke the law because it was indeed law. If you read the law, they technically don't have the legal authority to cut off the money.
Well, and there goes, you know, part of the argument is I was talked to several people that were discussing what went into Harney County, and that got convoluted. But, you know, more than 50% of the land in Coos County is held by the federal government.
Right.
And as you know, the county has its own county forest, and we every year use that money to offset our loss and has done a good job. So we do a good job of managing our forest on a sustained yield.
Yes, we do.
If they would allow us to manage some of the lands
just
here,
the ONC lands,
we
yeah.
wouldn't have to ask them for ONC. Even if they gave it just a, they wouldn't have to give us all of it. Just give us part of it to manage. Like we do our county forest. Lance, who's our county forester, does a great job. We could take care of ourselves and provide for ourselves, but they won't do that either.
Well, what it's come down to is this nonsense. Instead of allowing people to work for what they get, which is what we did basically when we were getting revenues off the forest, we were working for that money.
Exactly, and it provided then, jobs.
Yeah, and then they turn around and they say, well, you can't cut trees anymore because trees are more important than people. And so then they came up with this giveaway thing where the federal government says, well, we'll give you X number of dollars per year.
Rural schools.
And it has to be renewed periodically, and that gets a bit iffy. And remember, folks, this is the same federal government that's almost $20 trillion in debt. They can't afford to be giving away money. Why not? As the sheriff suggested, give that land back to the states, back to the counties, and let us earn it again. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure this out. I'm running over again. I always run over on the breaks. I don't know how this happens, but maybe I just like to hear my own voice too much.
Actually, I think it's an important topic for people to know about. That's
well,
what I think it has
well,
to
Well, I would like to believe that. Anyway, I do have to take a break because I got to pay the bills. And again, we want to hear from you. What do you think about the possibility of a law enforcement levy ask you to pay a couple more bucks every year in taxes to support the jail and the sheriff's office? The sheriff's trying to get a feel for what the public thinks, so do him a favor. Give us a call, 541-267-2124. Let us know if you're for or against. I'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
The new KO2 just landed at your local BF Goodrich dealer. With technology designed to conquer the harshest terrain on Earth, the KO2 is BF Goodrich's toughest all-terrain tire ever. And now that Baja-born toughness is ready for you. Whether you're at work or at play, take on your toughest off-road challenges with confidence. The new BF Goodrich All-Terrain TA KO2. Get yours today at Far West Tire Factory on Highway 101 in Coos Bay.
Get lost. I'm trying to contact the CPA about the P&L.
Perkins, I want that report, PDQ.
This is getting to be like the USMC.
Perkins, you're talking to a VIP here.
More like an SOB if you ask me.
What's that, Perkins?
I say I've got to go down to JVAS and check on my SUV.
Go who to do what?
JVAS, sir. Jim Vick Auto Sales in North Bend. I bought a vehicle from them, and I've got to go and pick it up.
Jim Vick Auto Sales, that's the guy who says,
if I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. We're going to go right to the phones here. We're going to talk to Frank in Myrtle Point. Frank, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hello. You know, I'm quite interested in doing something, helping. I don't have money, but I could always afford another tax.
Right.
To help the county sheriff's office or the jail, anything that will help law enforcement, because I'm afraid if we don't, we're going to start going down the road that Hillary and Obama are trying to put us down.
Well,
get rid of all the police.
I can't disagree with you at all on that.
That's my thought. Let him know that we're out here thinking.
Okay. Now, do you have any alternative suggestions? Because I know the sheriff's open to suggestions.
No, I don't have an alternative suggestion because I don't know the ins and outs of it. I just know that I've always had the greatest respect for our police and the men in blue as well, our sheriff in brown as well. So let's do something about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for the call, Frank. And again, I want as many people to call as possible so that the sheriff can get a feel on what you think, because it isn't important what I think. It isn't important what the sheriff thinks. What's important is what you think, because if this goes on the ballot, it's your decision. It's your money. And like the sheriff says, he doesn't want to spend taxpayer money for an election that's going to be an exercise in futility. So he wants to go into it informed. What will happen if he feels there's sufficient public support, then he will go to the commissioners and he will ask them to put this on the ballot, maybe as soon as the May ballot.
Well, we'll see. That's what I want to know is when can we look at doing this? And the first thing I want to know is, does it have the potential of being accepted?
Exactly.
And that, you know, that's the key issue, and the rest of it's timing.
Yeah. And we do have another caller. We have Raymond from Coquille. Raymond, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hi. I've been listening to the show today, and I was listening to Lars Larson earlier, and we talked about budgets.
Uh-huh.
And one of the top budgets was the DOT, 5,000 employees. You know, if they want to consolidate or bring the numbers down on your DOT people, to cut the budget. For Coquille or Coos County, Coquille is the capital of Coos County.
Right. It's a county seat. Yeah.
That's right. So the county sheriff's department is in Coquille, Oregon. Okay.
Right.
With the jails right there. So consolidation would be a non-taxable, or we wouldn't have to pay any extra tax if we could take the Coquille PD's budget and put it towards the county.
Well,
that way you get rid of staff, you get rid of a chief, you get rid of secretaries, and then you could cut down on your patrol.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that would work out, because when you look at the number of people on the Coquille Police Department, Sheriff's Department is going to have to hire at least that many people to continue the policing levels in Coquille at where they are now. And I don't really see any savings in the long term. What I see is a conflict between the people in Coquille and the people of the county as a whole. And, you know, last thing we need right now is more conflict. I think there's more than enough of that to go
around.
Well,
Jim, also there's a statute. If you were to consolidate like that, there's also a mandatory state law that you have to take that staffing level and you have to maintain them for at least a year. You can't just lay those people off.
Right.
So, you know, and the other part is they don't have a jail in Coquille for the police department. They have the police department. They go out and patrol, but they don't have any, and they don't have a significant support staff there. Most of those officers,
right,
like mine.
Yeah, okay, Greg, that's right. That's right. They don't have it. So when they arrest somebody, they take it to the county courthouse and they push the burden on you folks. So
correct.
Then you got to pick up the tab on these Coquille PD, and also not just Coquille, Little Point's just 8 miles away from the county seat.
Well,
what do you do with two buses, Little Point, Coquille?
Yeah,
I mean, you could have a good outfit, man. You could have your jail spaces track up. The other day, I was talking to a reserve county deputy.
Okay.
And he told me, we talked about this. He says three officers, which you have to have for each city, three in Coquille and three in Little Point. And then it'd be run by the life of the county courthouse.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out. You know, the problem is a lot of things that sound good on the surface. You've also got to take a look at the state statutes that govern that. And a lot of these things, you know, there's a lot of great ideas out there, and yours may be a good idea as well, but it's got to comply with the state statutes. And I think in this particular case, it'd be a very difficult compliance. Would you agree with that, Sheriff?
Yeah, and I don't know which officer he was talked to, but having done spent 12 years doing all the scheduling for the sheriff's office, to run any program 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, requires you to have 4.6 people, and the state doesn't allow us to cut people in half. So you got to have five to have somebody available. And that's just without having anybody injured, just to cover regular days off, vacation, sick days, and training. You have to have a minimum of five. So you have to have five for Myrtle Point and five for Coquille. So that's already over the numbers they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so with five people then. So you don't think with five people and get rid of some staff, secretaries, and chiefs, that you still couldn't come out ahead with consolidation?
Well, as my understanding, I believe Coquille and Myrtle Point both only have five officers now. And when it comes to moving the documentation that is required, is I am at minimal clerk staff, and I don't know, I don't think they have, that I'm aware of, other than maybe one person, and you'd still have to have an additional person or two to deal with the paperwork. And then it doesn't give you any more money for the jail.
And
I mean, that just covers the patrol function they're doing, so the bottom line is you reach a zero. You're not gaining anything. You're not losing anything.
Yeah, so a zero net gain, and it still doesn't address the real problem, which is the jail. Okay?
But thank you for that. Right. It's something I'll look at. Okay. I'll certainly look at it.
Yeah, if you get a chance, Raymond, stop by the sheriff's office and talk to him face-to-face. I know Sheriff Zanny. He's real easy to talk to. Okay?
That's
a good thing, Raymond. We need more people to think things through, and I do appreciate the call. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there with a lot of ideas, and one of the things that makes our society work is the fact that we are a government of, by, and for the people, or at least we're supposed to be. And I know there's quite a few public officials that would dearly love to hear more from the public and get some input on their ideas, and I know the sheriff's one of them. If you have an alternative idea, give us a call. We do have another caller. We have Ken from Bandon. Ken, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? This is Ken from the candy store.
Yeah, how you doing, bud?
Doing good.
Good. Good. It's great to hear from you.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to say, you know, we'd support that jail as long as none of that money was going to those Stephen politicians.
Well, I guess I'd have to ask if the sheriff's included in that group or not.
No. I said politician.
Okay.
Yeah,
he just wanted to make sure.
It's a good thing, and I think that we have to have, above all else, we have to have law enforcement.
Yes, we do. And
I think that they've been cut to the bare bones, and just so politicians can feather other nests.
Well, let them use somebody else's money besides ours, huh?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the general trend across the country right now, at least according to the mainstream media, is that everybody hates the police. Everybody wants to do away with the police, or at least a certain segment wants to do away with the police. And people need to stop and think a minute. Just consider it. Think it through. What would we be without law enforcement in this country? And the simple answer is, look at Chicago. Chicago.
Exactly.
Yeah, every day, Chicago is killing people off through crime. And, of course, in Chicago, ordinary citizens aren't allowed to have firearms to protect themselves. So the bad guys have all the advantages, and there aren't enough cops to go around. And they wonder why people die every day in Chicago from criminal activity. Well, we don't want that in Coos County. I don't want to live in a county where I've got to look over my shoulder every time I walk out the door. I don't want to live in a place where the guy coming down the street towards me could be a potential threat. Do you?
No, that's right, Jim. We got to have the law enforcement, and they got to have a place to put the dadgum people that don't want to obey the laws.
Absolutely.
And I see it. They have to release people all the time that need to stay in there, and the answer is obviously more beds.
Well, that's it. You know, and there's another part of this too, Ken. When the bad guys realize that there's no consequences for their actions, all that does is encourage them to continue doing it. If we have the jail beds, if our local law enforcement has the ability to take the bad guys off the street, put them in a place where they're isolated from society, where they can't do any more harm, and keep them there long enough to make it really uncomfortable for them, maybe they'll think twice before they go out and commit another crime.
Exactly, Jim. It's all about deterring the crime. And
exactly.
If you let them out the next day, they haven't learned anything.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you know, it's not about just putting people in jail. It's about protecting society. And
sure,
you know, the other part of it is if we've got strong law enforcement where everybody knows that if you break the law, there are going to be consequences, that ultimately reflects back on society as a whole, and you're going to have generally a more law-abiding society.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, when you tell people, oh, don't do this, and they say, well, yeah, what are you going to do if I do, and you have no answer, you already know what's going to happen, right?
Yep, that's it.
Okay.
Listen, well, Jim, thanks for your show.
It's great to hear from you. It's
good talking with you, Jim. I'll
okay.
Let you go on with your program.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. You have a great day. And with that, we do have to take a break. So, again, we want to hear what you have to say. What do you think? Would you support a law enforcement levy to help fund the jail, or would you not support that? Give us a call, 541-267-2124. We'll be right back.
At SelectQuote, we know life insurance through work is a great perk, but do you even know how much your employer provides? Usually it's a year's salary, maybe two if you're lucky. So if you die, your family is taken care of for a couple years. Then what? How will they pay the mortgage? Send the kids to college? It's simple. If you have a family, you need more life insurance than you're getting at work. Experts recommend 7 to 10 times your annual income. SelectQuote can help you find just that, and it's more affordable than you think. SelectQuote can find a 35-year-old man in excellent health, a $500,000 policy for under $19 a month. Life insurance through work is not enough. Let SelectQuote help you cover the gap. Call 1-800-738-8110. That's 1-800-738-8110. Or get started at SelectQuote.com. 1-800-738-8110. SelectQuote. We shop. You save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. is about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the health care law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable health care without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-94-BIBLE. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-94-BIBLE. That's 855-94-BIBLE.
So like many of you, I used to suffer from insomnia. No matter what I did, I simply couldn't get a perfect night's sleep. Then I met Mike Lindell. He is the inventor of MyPillow, and he got me fitted for my very own MyPillow, which has literally changed my life. And not only am I able to get to sleep now, but I stay asleep all night, every night. And guess what? You can too. Just log on to MyPillow.com or you can call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity and take advantage of Mike's two-for-one offer. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. It has a 10-year warranty, and you can even wash and dry it just like your favorite pair of blue jeans. Log on to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090 and use the promo code Hannity and get Mike's special two-for-one offer. And that means you can start getting the kind of restful, comfortable, deep healing sleep that you deserve. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity, or call 800-919-6090.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I thought that was kind of interesting, having a sheriff on and present this, and we got some good feedback from the folks, but don't be shy, people. This is something we really do need to address. And, you know, if you've got some opinions, if you've got some alternatives to a levy, whatever, call the sheriff's office. Make an appointment to sit down and talk with Sheriff Zanny. You know, he's one of those public officials that actually understands who he works for. And, you know, I've known the sheriff for many years. We used to do a radio show together years ago. So I've known him personally, and I know him to be a straight-up, honest guy who sincerely believes that his job is to protect the people of Coos County, period.
You know, Jim, unlike those two ratty commissioners who wouldn't protect our Second Amendment rights, you know, Craig Zanny stood up and spoke in favor of the Second Amendment Preservation Ordinance. So if you people are looking for someone who actually stands up for your rights, well, you won't find him on the Board of Commissioners except for Bob Main, and yeah, you will find it in the Sheriff's Office with Craig Zanny.
Absolutely, and he's pretty much got an open-door policy. If you want to talk to him, stop by. He will talk to you if he's there. And, you know, this is something that's going to impact every single one of us over the next few years. So we need to think this through. You know, like everybody else, I don't want to pay any more taxes. I don't think there's a problem with not paying enough.
Right. And you know, we were just talking about the county has a superfluous tax on the ballot coming in this general election for the museums.
Yeah.
They took a lot of the city's urban renewal development money and they built these museums without a way to maintain them. And they did that on purpose so they could come to the people and say, look, we built it. Now you can tax it. Yeah. Now we're going to tax you for it.
Well, and I guess what it comes down to, if you look at the overall scheme of things, which is going to be more beneficial to the people of Coos County in the long run? Is it going to be having strong law enforcement with a jail to keep the bad guys off the street? Or is it going to be the fluff of supporting the museum? Now, I'm not saying the museums aren't a good thing, but we've got to look at priorities here.
Right.
Do we want to live in the real world, or do we want to get a lobotomy, become a liberal, and live in a touchy-feely world that really doesn't exist?
You know, I'm a big history buff, and so most people might think I would support that museum tax, but the fact is that the free market offers more museums available to you to go to. I just went to Los Angeles and Hollywood Strip, and every one of those museums are privately owned.
Yeah.
Most museums across the nation that you go to, these little museums, they're all privately owned.
And there's a lot of them around.
Right.
Some years ago, my wife and I went to Sacramento and San Francisco and went to several museums. And they were, again, they were all private museums, and they were very interesting. I got something. I want to read this. Now, those of you that listen to the show on a regular basis are familiar with my longstanding feud with the Coos County Republican Central Committee. About 15 years ago, I was treated like crap. I was slandered, I was libeled, and I was refused the ability to defend myself publicly against allegations that were made in an open meeting. And because of that, I reacted like any other human being would react when somebody slaps them in the face. I told them, well, okay, from this point onward, you get nothing from me. And I've held true to that for 15 years. And all I have asked in that whole time period was an apology from the Republican Central Committee. I don't think I was asking too much. Well, the Coos County Republican Central Committee has a new chairman. Apparently, his name's Ron Wiggins, and apparently he's a man of honor, because I received this letter from Mr. Wiggins last week. It says, and it's on the Central Committee letterhead, and it says, "Dear Jim, being the recently elected chairman of the Coos County Republican Central Committee, I am writing this letter as an official apology to you personally from the Central Committee for the way you were very wrongfully treated a number of years ago at an official party meeting by previous elected officials of the Central Committee. We recognize your very valuable contributions to the conservative cause and would hope to foster a new relationship with you." And it's signed Ron Wiggins, Chairman, Coos County Republican Central Committee. So I wanted to make it official here on the show. I have gotten the apology I have requested, which I think is right and proper. And I give special thanks to Mr. Wiggins for pursuing this. And as far as I'm concerned at this point, what happened in the past is in the past. It's totally forgotten. I want to have a new start and continue as if the situation never happened. So again, I want to thank Ron Wiggins. I want to thank the Coos County Republican Central Committee. You did the right thing. I sincerely appreciate it, and I want everybody else to be aware that they did do the right thing. We do have a caller holding, right? We have Ann from remote. Ann, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hello there, gentlemen.
Well, I use that term loosely, would you? I'm not sure there's any gentlemen here.
I was going to say I had to look around for that one.
Okay. Hey, guys. I'm wondering why the prisoners aren't made to work for their keep, and that would... seems like me to me that would deter them from wanting to go to jail for a meal and a cot.
Well, they do. They used to. I don't know if they still do or not, but they used to have a work program. I know at one time when I was on the board of directors of the range at Myrtle Point, I checked out prisoners and took them over to the range and they did things like chop brush and move dirt, and I know there were some other organizations that checked out prisoners to do that, but some of the rules have changed, and I don't know if they're still doing that or not.
Well, what has happened is a lot of the businesses, if the workers are doing something that competes with local businesses and stuff, that happened, and there were certain unions who were a little upset because there were prison workers out there doing stuff that they thought union workers should do. I don't know what that is. But those were some of the problems.
I would agree with you, Ann. I think rather than just sitting in a cell all day, I think, you know, get them out there, reimplement chain gangs, put them out cleaning up litter along the roads, have them do some area beautification throughout the county. But again, then you get into competition with private business. And
well, I'll tell you what you don't do is you don't give them a bunch of weights and exercise equipment so they can build up endurance. And then you certainly don't want to give them libraries, law libraries, where they can become so educated on the law that they're able to go out and cause all kinds of trouble, even though that we know they're guilty 7 ways to Sunday. There's a lot of things. Cable. Why do prisoners get cable TV or radios?
Yeah, they're in jail.
Unless they're listening to the Jim Bice show, of course. That's maybe that's what we should do. You should have to listen to 24/7 Jim Bice show, and that would fix the penal institution.
That would deter a lot of crime. Say, oh my God, don't make me listen to that SOB. I'll go straight from now on.
Well, thank you. I agree. I think they should get all the perks taken away, and it should just be the basics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's the whole point. Make them uncomfortable so they don't want to go back.
Yep.
Yeah. Somewhere we've lost sight of that.
You know, I have an uncle who actually goes to jail, so when his hernia gives him problems, he can get the jail to fix it. That's, you know, there's people out there who do that. They go to jail on purpose, and we should stop that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just another way to sponge off the taxpayers. Well, so would you be in favor of the levy or opposed to it, Ann?
I think I would be opposed to it.
Okay.
Because I would like them to cut costs for the perks that they're giving the prisoners first.
Okay. Now, I don't want to get into a big litany here, but you might want to talk to the sheriff. Just give him a call someday. He's happy to talk to people. And just ask them, where does he think he can cut things out? Where, you know, what does he think that can be eliminated to save money?
You know, and one time he had to go to the sheriff had to go to the Board of Commissioners and ask for a new water heater. And I told him that, why are they even allowing a water heater for the jail? Just let them take cold showers.
Yeah.
And he said, according to some federal agency, he couldn't allow them to do that. And I thought, well, they allow our soldiers to do that in foreign countries while risking their lives, but yet they won't allow prisoners to take cold showers.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
I thought the headline was, you know, they get a new heater in a prison, shower rape goes up by 50%.
Anyway, Ann, I thank you for the call. I thank you for your input. And you have a great day.
Thank you. Both of you, too.
All righty. Just so you know, I've got Rob Taylor in the studio. The sheriff had to leave, and Rob came in, and he's kind of keeping me company so I don't get lonely here.
Well, I was turning myself in to save money, but he won't take me.
I know. Oddly enough, when Rob walked into the studio, that was the first question I asked him. Did you come to give yourself up? And the sheriff said he didn't want him, so... I guess you're too bad for even the sheriff.
You know, he offered me to take me on one of those rides, you know, where you ride along. He said, you just won't be coming back is the problem.
Right, yeah. It's a one way. Anyway, we got to take another break here, and we're going to give away another meal. This is from Dishner's Family Restaurant. They're located on Broadway in North Bend, 2603 Broadway. It's about halfway between Virginia and Newmark on Broadway. I eat at Dishner's fairly frequently. They're open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They're open 7 days a week from 6 in the morning to 8 in the evening. And what they want to give away this time is a chicken fried steak dinner. It includes, of course, chicken fried steak. Now, they're changing their menu. On the old menu, it was listed as country fried steak. And I guess on the new menu, it's listed as chicken fried steak. But it's basically the same thing. I've had it. It's big and it's good. It includes a steak and your choice of potato or rice pilaf, a vegetable, and a dinner roll. It's a complete meal. And it's a lot of food. And I'm going to give this away to caller number 3 at 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124, and you can win a chicken fried steak dinner courtesy of Dishner's Family Restaurant. And I'll be right back.
Looking for a vehicle but not sure what to get or where to go for the best deal? Then allow Jim Vic Auto Sales to assist you. Choose from economy cars, trucks, SUVs, and vans. And just in case you're looking for that sports car you've always wanted, you might just find that too. Plus, when Jim says,
"If I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business,"
Jim means just that, helping you save money and making sure you're satisfied with the vehicle you choose. Jim Vic Auto Sales, on the corner of Virginia and Broadway, and online at jimvicautosales.com.
The RV business is red hot at Gibbs RV Superstore. With low finance rates and easy terms, it's never been easier to buy a new RV. And Gibbs RV Superstore is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Let the professionals at Gibbs RV sell your RV for top dollar at no charge to you. Open 6 days a week with the largest volume of RVs on the Oregon coast, Gibbs RV Superstore by the Big Boom and Y in Empire.
Gibbs RVs for all.
Did you know that McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are made from 100% white meat with no artificial preservatives, no artificial flavors, and no artificial colors? No, never tasted so good. And now you can satisfy your taste buds with a small McCafe drink for only $2. Choose a rich French vanilla latte or a cool, creamy caramel frappe. You'll find a variety of drinks to sweeten your day. Only at your locally owned McDonald's in Coos Bay, North Bend, and Reedsport. Now that's a deal you can enjoy.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. Okay, your quick call, and we've already got a winner for the chicken fried steak dinner at Dishner's Family Restaurant. We'll do it again next week, but I still want you to call in the remaining minutes of the show and let us know what do you think about the idea of a law enforcement levy to help support the Coos County Jail. This is important stuff, and like the sheriff said when he was on, he doesn't want to spend taxpayer money on a ballot measure that isn't going to go anywhere. So it's important that we know what you folks are thinking, because you're the ones that make that decision. And we do have a caller. We have Jennifer from Coos Bay. Jennifer, welcome to the Jim Bice Show.
Hey, good to be here.
Thank you. Are you calling in about the sheriff's levy?
Yeah, I'm both issues, actually.
Okay.
Rob Taylor, you were in the Coos Bay Council meetings 3 years ago when they implemented the Municipal Code 5.20, and you were there for a different issue. excuse me. I have that nasty cold going around.
Oh.
Okay, so we were at the first meeting that led up to 3 months of us fighting the city on the municipal code. We sat and watched the city council approve a $60,000 spending spree on an arm so the Coos Bay North Bend Water Board could cut the side of the hillsides.
Right.
So, yeah. And I'm so in agreement of using people who are incarcerated for that would have saved us so much money.
Oh, yeah.
And the person driving the rig would still have a job. Just give him a shotgun. He can pull guard duty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, okay, so that's, you know, overspending has become the norm.
Well, it has. It's almost like they think the taxpayers' pockets are a bottomless pit.
And the diversion of funds should be going to the sheriff's office.
Well,
Where's that money going?
Well, see, and this is part of the problem. And you see it at budgeting. I see it at city level, I see it at county level, I see it at state and national level. The politicians want to give funding to the people that will go out there and vote for them, that will tell other people to vote for them. So they're, in essence, using taxpayer dollars to buy their reelection, and they don't really give a rat's behind about the people that they supposedly represent. And we're in a unique position here in Coos County because we do have a sheriff that definitely understands who he works for. And he's not real big on wasting taxpayer money.
Okay, and I'm going to say I support our police officer here in this county. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm having a little bit of issue with the catch and the release. And it's not our police doing it, folks. It's our judicial system, which is the courts.
Right.
So vote the incumbents out, people. Vote them out.
Well, yeah, I think you're right to a point. It is the courts, because the courts don't seem to want to hold anybody accountable anymore. They want to slap them on the wrist. You know, you can go out and you can rip somebody off and destroy their lives by taking the things that they have that they need to work or survive, and you get a slap on the wrist. But by God, you do something that in some way, shape, or form endangers government, and you're going to get a life term. We've lost our common sense.
Well, you either get life in prison or asset forfeiture or both, right?
While
the criminals are free to climb up the ravine behind my house and stalk me because they're waiting for somebody to leave.
Well, there's an easy way to handle that, you know.
Amen. My 38, that's just fine.
That works dandy. I like it.
One of them fell in the ravine one day when I got off jury duty. They actually heard me come home and said, looks like somebody's home. And somebody's home. And I ran outside with my 38 and the phone. As soon as one of them fell in the water down in the ravine, I called the cops to let them know I just scared somebody off. But, you know, we have to, as a community, open up our eyes.
We do, and we need to quit listening to all these idiot politicians that try to convince us that we the people don't need to be armed, that we've got to leave it in the hands of law enforcement. So we're supposed to trust the cops to protect us, while at the same time those very same politicians are trying to cut back on the revenues to support the police.
Yep.
Where does that leave us, you know, we the people?
And what's worse,
it leaves us cowering in our homes, paranoid to leave.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's worse is they spend it on worse things. They spend it on these museums, these economic developments. They're giving private businesses money from the public funding through urban renewal and enterprise zones. Yeah, it's ridiculous. If you could cut a lot of this spending that's going to this economic development and all these mandates, then you would have plenty of money for your sheriffs and your police.
Yeah, and let's look at economic development in Coos County. There virtually is none.
They spend
spent a lot of money over the years. How many feasibility studies have we done in this area for one kind of business or another? And with all of that spending, we've managed to create two jobs. That's the head of SCDC and his assistant. But we don't have the jobs.
And by the way, his assistant, who I think was nothing more than a store clerk before she got the job, makes more than our sheriff now. So that should tell you something.
Absolutely.
Sad, sad, sad.
It is. Well, Jennifer, I thank you for the call.
And all right, have a good one.
You have a great day. And we are at the top of the hour. I can't believe that the time goes so fast here. I sincerely thank you for tuning in. And I thank those people that called in to give us a feel of where they stand on the possibility of a law enforcement levy. It's something to keep in mind. We're going to hear more about it as time goes on. But I do thank you for listening. I will be back next week. And until then, I want you to go out there and you have a great week.